Stardate 98007.05. Welcome to another live edition of Star Trek Discovery Pod. My name is Mike Moody. With me on the view screen is
Mariah Gossett
and Grant Davis.
And I think Clyde Haynes will be joining us soon. He's running late. So this week, guys, this might be our nerdiest, geekiest, most embarrassing podcast like ever.
Oh, no. But
I think so.
This week we spent
2 days on Memory Alpha.
This week we are podcasting live on YouTube, and as everyone listening knows, CBS is just greenlighting new Star Trek shows left and right. We've got Strange New Worlds coming up, a few animated series coming up. Maybe I've heard rumors of a Starfleet Academy show. I heard something about a Khan show with Nicholas Meyer producing a few years ago. That might still be happening. So, like, if CBS has its way, we'll have new Star Trek to watch and to complain about for, like, forever. Just kidding. We don't complain.
Wasn't there there was a Section 31 one?
Possibly the Section 31. Right? Yeah.
These things are coming out of the woodwork. If they're giving out shows to people like popcorn, then we should throw our hat in the ring and try and get optioned.
Indeed. With all these new Trek shows coming out, we thought, why don't we pitch our own Trek shows? So that's what we're doing tonight. We have each come up with ideas for a new Star Trek show. We're pitching them to you tonight, and you can vote on your favorite, and we'll announce the winner or whatever show you want to greenlight on next Thursday's live pod, and we'll tell you how to vote in a little bit. And Mariah, I think you volunteered to write a scene or something for the winning concept or for us to perform, or what'd you say?
Yeah, something like that. So I did indeed volunteer to become the staff writer of whatever show we decide is greenlit. I'll come up with a few scenes and we can read it on a future podcast. I will need some direction from the winning showrunner / executive producer if for some reason it is not mine.
Right. And
but before we dive into all of that,
how is it not going to be yours, Mariah?
I don't know.
You should have written this game before you started.
But before we dive into all of our nerdy Trek talk, I just wanted to remind everyone listening to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy listening to them. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review, especially on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out. For all the links to everywhere you can find us, just visit StarTrekPod.co.
And another way you guys can help us out is to go to patreon.com/StarTrekPod. There you can make a per episode pledge. And we would love to have you guys come join us because we really try to make it worth it for you guys. You come there and you make a $2 an episode pledge. And you can join us on our private Slack channel where we have a whole bunch of different rooms discussing all sorts of things from Star Trek books to spoilers and theories and just general discussion about like our fandom. I know that some of the people in the group have already taken on the exciting game of doing watch-alongs together. And you could join in on all of that funness. And we also do bonus exclusive stuff just for our patrons. We really try to show the love for you guys because we understand what a big deal it is for people to invest their money in our little project here, our podcast. And that means the world to us. So we do want to try and give back beyond just, you know, what the support is that you guys give us. So we try to do bonus podcast series. We have been reviewing the movies. We've been doing Badass Women of Trek. There was the Best of 7 of 9 series that Mariah and Mike did. And there's so much more, and we would love for you guys to come join us. Once again, that is patreon.com/StarTrekPod. Go there right now, pause this episode, and make that pledge, and then come join us. You can't pause, though. We're doing this live.
And I want to remind everybody we are live. And viewers, you can tag at Star Trek Pod or type pod in front of your comments on the live stream if you want us to mention your comment later in the show. And we're going to pitch our ideas tonight, like we said, but you can pitch your Star Trek show ideas as well in the live chat. And you can also tweet them to us at Star Trek Pod. And we're going to mention all of those. We're going to mention some of them tonight. Some of them you pop in the chat and some that we've already gotten. And we really want to hear these pitches.
I saw that over on Instagram. You guys put out a little call for some.
Yeah.
And I chimed in with my Star Trek Muppet Babies idea. I thought it was killer. They're all the captains are together, but they're babies. And there's like, they're in a nursery where a nanny has to take care of them. And they use their imagination to boldly go.
Greenlit. Greenlit. It's
great. I love it.
So yeah, please pitch your ideas. And on next week's podcast, we'll present all of your ideas, all the listener ideas on Thursday's live pod. And you can also tweet them to us at Star Trek Pod. You can also call our hotline and pitch them, 833-TREK-POD. That's 833-873-5763. And all that stuff will be down in the show notes for this episode. And we look forward to going through these and presenting those for you to check out next week. And it's Grant's turn.
What? Am I going first?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, we have one more thing you need to tell people. Okay. How are they supposed to vote, Grant?
Grant, tell the people how they're supposed to vote.
Okay, guys, to vote for your favorite Star Trek show pitch from tonight's podcast, you can visit patreon.com/StarTrekPod. You don't have to be a patron to vote, but while you're there, you might as well sign up, right?
Might as well.
And then later tonight, there will be a poll that goes up there. You can access it from the front page, patreon.com/StarTrekPod, with all of our pitches. Go there, vote for your favorite, and there will be a link to the show notes for this episode as well. So if you need a little reminding of like what's going on here, please go and vote by midnight Wednesday, June 3rd. Okay? Do it. And vote for your favorite. You don't have to vote for mine. It's okay.
Go vote.
And if you're just joining us, there's three of us here. We think Clyde might be able to join us and pitch his show, but if he doesn't,
just text me.
Oh, okay. Is he coming?
Yeah, he's coming. He might join a little late, so.
All right, no problem.
All right,
let's do this. We don't really have a format for these pitches. We all have kind of different ideas and different ways to present these, I'm sure. I do want to shout out our friends at Text Trek, the Text Trek podcast. They are the ones who initially challenged other Star Trek fans and other podcasts to do this, to pitch their own shows. They did this exact thing on their podcast about like 2 or 3 weeks ago. If you want to check that out, they're our buddies. They're awesome. Text-trek.com. So thanks, Text Trek. Okay. So do we have a volunteer to pitch first?
Oh.
Or should we just do rock, paper, scissors?
Is that the best way?
Is Why the not? Delay gonna work? Okay.
I was gonna do like a number, random number generator, but you know, that's hard. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, go. Okay.
Mariah's out.
Mariah's out.
Does that mean she has to go first? Or does that mean she loses?
That's a good question. That maybe should have been established before that.
I think since we both beat Mariah, she goes first.
Awesome.
All right. Graphic up, please.
Graphic up. All right. Bum, bum, bum.
We're getting fancy.
Yes. All right. So my show is called Star Trek Hidden Civilizations.
Oh, I did that wrong then.
Ancient. Oh, maybe I told you the wrong thing. It's all right. Hidden, ancient. It's about the same gist. You get it. Old stuff. So it is 2372 and the USS Ahwahnee Class D is set off. Well, it's a Cheyenne class ship, but it's Dash D, is set off to explore the Gamma Quadrant after a Vulcan geological survey team has discovered Herc ruins. You might remember this if you watched Deep Space Nine. They were tasked with searching for additional signs of Herc life, and they are going out to assist the Vulcan Geological Survey and archaeological teams. Along the way, they find out that the Herc are actually not gone for good and have instead left a trail with a map that could possibly lead to future confrontation with the Klingons and the especially problematic Zenkethis. So think tonally Star Trek plus Indiana Jones. We're going to see the slow discovery of a lost civilization that was but is instead a sleeping superpower in the mysterious land of the Gamma Quadrant. It will also explore how history is often written by the powerful and how classism can often cloud judgment.
Ooh.
I like that.
So the cast that I currently have, I haven't cast everybody as far as like ideal actors, but I'll dash them in when it's relevant. But our captain is Nadia Nashat, is a very smart and empathetic leader. She's
spell
had
that.
A rock. NadiaNeshat. Nadia Nashat.
That's
yes.
correct.
she had a rocky start at Starfleet after being a very vocal opponent to the environmental destruction caused by warp drives in subspace. And she was an activist for dilithium miners. She has moved up the ranks, but still holds space to question Starfleet's actions and works to try to change the systems from within. She often pushes back against leadership and takes the side of those often not seen in power. I think it would be dope to see her played by Shorya Agdashloo, who played Commodore Paris in Star Trek Beyond, but, you know, it's a different timeline.
Yeah, she has that badass. Very, like, deep, smoky voice.
Yes, she's a great voice. First officer is Hector Valdez, who is a recently promoted science officer who specialized in interspecies botanicals and studied the use of plants in ancient civilizations. He has a deep love of scientific studies, but is struggling with his new role in leadership. He is learning to take command and often needs a bit of encouragement from Captain Nashat. But she sees the leader he can be, and he's an extremely analytical thinker. In a dream world, this is played by Oscar Isaac.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Of course. Okay, Clyde just joined us. Hey, Clyde.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
All right, and Mariah is pitching her show. We just started. And Mariah.
I'm going to give another recap at the end too.
Mariah's running down her cast.
So we're at the communications officer, who is Demetrius Adamos, a Centurion linguistic scholar. Adamos has became fascinated with ancient languages and knows both modern and ancient Greek and Italian. He's worked with many archaeological teams to translate alien and Earth-based languages. And he's very bookish, but can sometimes come across as an awkward person in social situations. I put Alfred Enco, who played Dean Thomas in Harry Potter.
Mm. Oh, okay.
As a possibility.
I know Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I get that reference.
Our helmsman is Odras Dagor, who is a Klingon Starfleet officer. She comes from the once powerful House of Dagor, which has since fallen out of favor in the Klingon High Council. Her joining Starfleet at the time was seen as one of the reasons for her house's shaming, and she often struggled at Starfleet due to her house name. They were once involved in the destruction of Starbase 1 during the Federation Klingon War. She proved to be a spectacular pilot and earned the respect of her peers, but she often struggles with her temper. I put Dulce Sloan because I know she really wants to play a Klingon. wow. If y'all know her from The Daily Show.
No, I'm going to look it up.
She's great.
Mariah's got me all over IMDb right now.
Okay.
Our next person is a special character. It's a behavioral specialist and a psychologist, because you know I'm not doing a show without a therapist on it. So we have Dr. David Maurer, who is a behavior specialist and a psychologist who extensively studied the Zenkathis and the Klingons. He has a deep fascination with class-based societies and how that changes behaviors of those in power and those in lower castes. He has been brought on especially for this mission and previously was a professor at the Starfleet Academy. This is one of his first times out in the field, and he's very nervous about spending this much time in space. And ideally, this is played by Jason Mantzoukas.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty much sold on any show that has Jason Mantzoukas.
Right? He's one of my faves. I have a couple more. So we have a science officer, Fawn, who is a Vulcan science officer who started his career as part of an archaeological team for Starfleet. He and Captain Nashat actually started at the Academy around the same time and have a mutual respect for one another. But Fawn often finds Nashat's emotional reactions to classism and injustices illogical. But solutions can be found or not able to be implemented, as he would always say. Fawn has a specialty in geology and chemistry, making him the lead on many away missions for the crew of the Awani as they begin their mission to the Gamma Quadrant. We were talking about this. We said tentatively Rami Malek, but he might be too young to be a contemporary with Captain Nashat. So to be determined. And finally, oh, nope, just kidding. Two more. our chief engineer is Sivia Shoaral, who is an Andorian engineer who is quick on their feet, but is bad at asking for help. As a fiercely independent Andorian who falls within the four genders on their spectrum, they love solving a good puzzle, but often butt heads with Lieutenant Odras as they are still a bit disgruntled with Klingons, and the two of them constantly bicker over the capabilities of the ship. We thought maybe Asia Kate Dillon from Billions, mm-hmm. who we were talking about.
They're awesome.
And then finally, we have Dr. Lisa Young, who is a talented doctor who loves puns way too much. She's often the person in the room referencing odd 20th and 21st century Earth pop culture and has a habit of listening to music a bit too loud when she's working. If TikTok was a thing in the 24th century, she would be a dancing TikTok doctor. I put Lyrica Okinaw. She's currently on Marvel's Runaways.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So our cast is set. Finally, here's a quick look at what I think will happen throughout the first season of the series. The crew sets out on what they think is going to be a bit of a sleepy archaeological dig and scientific mission. But surprise, the Herc are not totally gone. They have found what looks to be a possible map of settlements and egg stations around the border of the Gamma Quadrant. This poses a deep threat to the Zenkathi, who have started to make moves in the quadrant after they attempted to create an artificial wormhole, resulting in a temporary collapse of the Bajoran wormhole. Tensions are high in the most unexplored region of space. As the crew of Awani take many away missions to collect samples and artifacts, the issue of who owns the artifacts becomes tense as the Federation wants to use the ancient but powerful Turk technology to improve the fleet. There's a possibility that this technology would eliminate the need for dilithium-based warp cores, an issue near and dear to Captain Nashat's heart. But at what cost to other species is this technology?
Damn.
The Zenkathi is a deeply classist system, and the crew have many altercations with them throughout their adventures, as they have also gotten a hold of the map's information and want to not only utilize the Herc technology for their own gain, but to take out the Herc nests and prevent an uprising that might impede their growth and domination in the region. The crew must set aside their possible differences of opinion and move from scientific exploration to defending the once thought to be extinct, now in danger Hercs. Even if some of the crew think they might also become a threat, Captain Nashat knows that only through diplomacy and exploration can the true intention of the Hercs be discovered. She doesn't think we should project her ideals onto a race that has so long been suppressed. Her team follows her lead, but explores issues of xenophobia and classism throughout the series. Star Trek Hidden Civilizations is about the past coming back to change the future.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
Wow.
Thank you for coming out.
Our theme song is playing.
Yeah, we're done. We're done. You did it. Thank you so much. Good night. I mean,
Mariah, what the hell?
Wow. You just wrote a novel. You just wrote a Star Trek novel.
I'm sorry that took so long.
No, it's awesome.
Long. I need to know more.
I spent like forever just looking up like, what is a Vulcan versus a Romulan?
Okay.
You do some deep cuts and you like weave it all through like what is the already established history of Trek. That's very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how it's a new story, but you weaved in some like the Herc. We've heard legends of the Herc. I don't think we've ever seen them. What do you envision them looking like?
So they've only ever been shown in the Star Trek video games. Mm. And so both the Herc and the Zenkathis are very like big alien costumies. Mm. So I think they'll be really cool in this day and age of what we can do with special effects and like actors with lots of cool prosthetics on.
Like big old hulking monsters kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They wear these like crazy backpacks so that they can breathe and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, man.
Choopy says you're the Hermione of Star Trek Pod.
Duh.
Yes, we know.
So would this show be primarily grounded on this one planet or this like this maybe a body of planets?
Yeah, so the Gamma Quadrant is like the least explored or talked about quadrant in Star Trek. So I figured it made it easier for me to like add it into the lore. So yeah, there's like, that's where like fluidic space comes in, is in the Gamma Quadrant and like all of those fun, weird things. So can get real weird.
Okay, cool.
And what did you say the tone was again?
Like Star Trek plus Indiana Jones. So it's still holding true to that kind of like kitschy Star Trek world exploration, but maybe with some additional, you know, action in it as far as archaeological action.
So would most of the action take place like on the ship? Would that be the central kind of set, or would it really be the planet and exploring kind of this ancient world?
A mix of the two. Like I imagine at least every few episodes they are along this trail of the Herc. So it's spanning across multiple planets.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool.
I apologize. I messed up the title in that little title card.
It's okay. I probably didn't write the right one in the Slack channel.
Okay. Okay. We'll talk about that one a little more. Unless you guys have more questions.
I mean, I can go next if you guys want.
I was just going to say, who wants to go next? Go for it.
Okay. So, it's Muppet Babies, right? But, no. All right. Let's go. Can you make it that I'm sharing my screen? There it is. Star Trek Omega. Now, here's the thing about this title. I don't think I really like this title at all. It might be inappropriate. And in fact, once I came up with this title, I went and looked on the Memory Alpha site. And it says like there's all sorts of other things that like are relevant to Omega, like some Omega protocol or Omega molecule or something or other. So I don't know. It might still fit with my idea. Let's get into it. So, Star Trek Omega. The setting of this is the year 2258, which is actually the immediate year following the disappearance of the USS Discovery 1,000 years into the future. This show takes place immediately following the disappearance of the Discovery. There's an investigation and bureaucracy, and an elite think tank is formed to try and puzzle out the events of the disappearance of the Discovery and see if they can replicate the technology that allowed the Discovery to jump into the future. That's essentially what's going on, but let me jump to my next slide because my inspiration for this show is that this is not going to be your traditional hour-long drama. This is actually going to be a 30-minute, more of a workplace situational comedy approach to Star Trek. The premise is essentially that after the mysterious disappearance of the Discovery, this specially selected team of the top scientists that Starfleet is capable of assembling, which does not necessarily mean Starfleet science officers that are already on cruise ships. These are the kind of outcasts and misfits that they're able to assemble. Along with some eccentric outsiders are brought together to try and replicate the technology that allowed them to use the spore drive and time travel. But then there comes the ethical dilemmas of, do they really want to figure out what all goes into time travel? So I'm drawing from some shows that I think do situational comedy and perhaps a little bit more accurately, single cam mockumentary style. So that's like The Office, where you have the cameras in there and they will do a little asides where they'll be interviewed. My idea is to model this off of the vein of Better Off Ted and The Office as well as borrow some of the concepts that are already presented both in Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, where I thought it was pretty funny, the more comedic elements of what Trek does. So I envision this a little bit in these science officers that have been collected. I love these forming of a special team kind of scenes in movies and TV shows. And there'll be, this is the problem. The Discovery disappeared. Now we need to try and get all these different scientists that from different specialties together to try and work on this problem. And the best they can do is assemble this team of a hodgepodge of people that are a little bit cantankerous, might not work well together. There's going to be friction. And there's going to be a documentation of their process as they try to work things out. The documentation is not going to be done by people holding cameras and walking around like in the office, filming everyone in the office. It's going to be done by these flying drones, kind of a bit of a technology adapted from stuff that Jet Reno had.
Mm.
So these flying drones that can walk around and they become a little bit, sometimes they're the passive observer and sometimes they're a little bit more of an active participant floating around in space. Maybe some of the scientists might grab one of the drone cameras and move it to try and point to something they're trying to indicate as they are going through working on their projects. Now, let's get into some of these characters. And for that, let's switch over here to my cast list. Hey. Do you have some of the same cast as me?
No, I just like love all of these people.
You may notice this one guy, Rainn Wilson, a.k.a. Harry Mudd, but I'll get to that in a second. So the first member of the cast is... I'm not good with these names for these characters, so you'll have to forgive me here. I wrote Bazun. Bazun? I think it was probably Bazun. Bazun, played by CCH Pounder, ideally. Pounder, ideally, would be an El-Arian who has a long history of managing difficult people and projects, an excellent project manager, because, as I read online, the El-Arians are excellent listeners. They hear your problems and they know how to help guide you. And nice. I guess Whoopi Goldberg's character was an El-Arian? Guinan?
Guinan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So while she was hailed with an incredible track record, she recently went through a relationship breakup and has become uncharacteristically disillusioned with life. She's not really caring about the troubles of others. She's become detached and unlistening. Basically, she's undergoing a cynical phase that most human teenagers go through. But because she's an alien, it's a little bit foreign to her. And she's kind of going on this path where she doesn't give a shit about any of these scientists and their problems. And that's where a lot of the comedic breakdown might happen. The next character is a human lady played by, I named her Judy because I just came up with a name. She's bold, uncompromising, and irritable, quick to skirt the rules to accomplish her goals, and her primary focus is theoretical physics and advanced mechanics. Val, that was Amber Midthunder. You may recognize her from Legion over on FX. I thought she was awesome in that show. I was like, want more of her. Oh, CCH Pounder's from The Shield. If anyone doesn't know, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's from a bunch of things, but also loved her on The Shield. Joe Keery is this guy from Stranger Things. And I have him playing a guy named Val, who is an Orion. And he's a shy outcast from a more outgoing and even promiscuous species. He's crafty and brilliant with reverse engineering, and there may be a little bit of a romantic element between his character and Amber's character there. Next character is... Who do I have it on the picture? Oh, Danny Pudi. Okay. His character is Shen, an Andorian. I have an Andorian as well. Understudy of... the science officer Strahl, who was actually Paul Stamets's partner, who's the one who died in the other ship at the beginning of Discovery.
Yeah.
He was the fellow astromycologist. So this Shen character would be an understudy of his in astromycology. So his background would be coming from that. Extremely chatty and friendly up front, annoyingly so, but secretly a huge kleptomaniac. This will prove to be problematic in the future, as drones will... No one has ever really caught him catching stealing stuff, except for the drone cams will have caught him catching or stealing things. Primarily stuff from a Harry Mudd character who thought he had already stolen stuff. Which brings us to the next character, Trib. That is going to be played by this lady... Gail Rankin, who you may recognize from the TV show Glow over on Netflix. She is a quirky Romulan who is one of the leading exobiologists and biochemists in the galaxy, with a vast understanding of the genetic makeup of all species and unifying dynamics among them. She also loves tribbles. Like, she loves tribbles so much that her name is Trib, and she's not so secretly trying to become one, transplanting patches of fur onto her body when no one is looking, and trying her best to avoid talking to people. But tribble hair, as you Star Trek fans know, is actually very expensive to just transplant onto your body. So she's persuaded to join the team for a hefty fee so that she can keep on becoming a tribble. She develops a...
Just focus the show on her.
A key synthetic compound derived from a combination of genetic makeup, blah 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 jargon.
I feel like you're typecasting this poor woman.
She was a wolf in the other one, now she's a troll. I know, but I was like, oh, she'd be perfect. She was so good there.
She loves wearing fur.
Oh my goodness.
Once her element combines with... I'm getting ahead of myself with that plot point. Let me jump to Harry Mudd. Harry Mudd is also brought in as as a reluctant consultant, because he, as we all remember, is one of the few people familiar with the Spore Drive intimately from being stuck in a time loop over and over and over, trying to study and steal the Spore Drive on the Discovery ship. So he's very familiar with the Discovery ship and Spore Drive. He's brought in reluctantly as a consultant, probably through a jail sentence. And as far as I could tell in the timeline for Harry Mudd, there's a gap of events that happen from right when Discovery disappears to like sometime after Kirk comes in, like about 8 years later. So I think this is enough of a comfort bubble that he could theoretically be a part of this cast. Anyway, he takes the role of an interested party. In the study, scientific stuff, trying to help everyone out by giving them good advice while secretly working to sabotage the whole project and steal from it, of course, because it's Harry Mudd. He's at odds with Bassoon, and yet they have a bizarre, undeniable sexual chemistry, is what I wrote. Because I think that would also be wonderful. His actions are actually the catalyst for the group time traveling at the end of the season, which brings me to talking about the season one arc. So the first season would be this ragtag group even being formed and put onto this starbase called Starbase Omega. Starbase Omega would be this secret starbase where they're all working. These misfit scientists are working together and against each other to try and figure out what was going on with the Spore Drive, mycelial network, and all that. They are both brilliant and eccentric in their own right, but also very territorial and independent. And they're hasty in their actions, as many mad scientists are. Which is why a lot of them weren't actually on other crews and on other ships. That recklessness results in a series of curious mishaps throughout the season, stuff that needs to be corrected or adjusted or lead to eureka moments. And we would see there would be difficulty with the project. Starfleet roadblocks. There would be problems with espionage and sabotage, both from internal sources like Harry Mudd and external sources. Tedious meetings and workplace tension. I kind of also like this idea of the mundaneness of office meetings being introduced into a world that is as grandiose as Star Trek. You're traveling this all of space and yet you have to sit in a board meeting. The backdrop, of course, being this high-tech space exploration. And then, you know, we could still have some of these serious discussions of the ethical dilemma of replicating the tech that would allow you to time travel. So the group would find that each member is exploring a particular aspect of what makes up the spore drive. But it turns out that when Harry Mudd goes to try and steal the tech and is confronted about it, it results in a sequence of events at the very end of the season where everyone gets coated in this mycelial network goo that immediately bonds all of them. They're all inextricably linked. And then when someone else activates a piece of tech, they're all bonded and they jump through time back to the year 1946 on Earth. So it ends with them time traveling. And some of them are aliens who look really out of place. Or 1947, rather, which is Roswell significant, I think.
Oh.
I like the idea of all these silly scientists suddenly just jumping through time. And the second season would pick up with this unlikely group having to figure out on the planet Earth how to jump back through time. That's my rambling pitch.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Dang.
So that is a sequel to Discovery and a prequel to all the other Star Trek shows.
Yes.
Very cool.
But then a prequel, because they go to 1947.
I just want the show to focus just on the girl trying to become a Tribble. I think that would be great.
It has to at least be a short, like...
mm-hmm. A short trek, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
I like that idea, short trek.
That is awesome. Wow. A+, Grant and Mariah.
Thanks.
Very cool.
Woo.
All right. And what was it called again?
It was called Star Trek Omega after Starbase Omega. But then I was reading that the Omega molecule was a plot point in Voyager, I want to say.
Yes.
Is Voyager the one with Janeway?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was this Omega molecule is considered one of the most dangerous molecules that could collapse subspace. And so I was thinking, well, actually, calling it Omega could work with that Omega molecule as well, if that's some sort of element that was used for them to time travel. I initially chose Omega because I was reading about this modern scientist who just a couple months ago said he had a breakthrough in his time travel algorithm that he's mapped out, like a way in which time travel could theoretically be possible. And
he hit his head on the toilet and saw the vision of the flux capacitor.
His main symbol in his algorithm was the Omega symbol. That was what he was trying to solve for. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Kay Young says, I think my brain has exploded trying to process these pitches.
I did not explain it well. I'm sorry.
I probably need Vedra level storage capacity to put them in perspective. That's a lot of megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Clyde, you want me to go? Do you need some time?
Nope. I think let's rip this Band-Aid off. And
you want to do it?
And let's try and get this done. So
okay, I have your title. I have your title card up. Would you like me to put that up?
Sure, you can drop that up. Yeah.
All right. Do that. How do I do that? Okay, keep talking, and I'll do it.
Okay, so I clearly am not the A+ student that Mariah. And I'm going to give him a B+, A- that Grant is.
Cool. Thank you.
No, kidding. No, you guys did a fantastic job.
You go to hell.
this is... So, okay. So most of us have been to the ATX TV festival. So when I was thinking pitch, I was thinking more quick pitch, less like, you know.
Cool Clyde didn't thoughts. Do his homework, guys.
Yeah, something like that. Okay. But no, so here's what I've got. I have put some thought into this. So this is called Star Trek Harmony, right? The premise is this. So imagine, if you will, Star Trek meets kind of Law and Order and the UN, right? So I was thinking, like, who has the rights to Star Trek right now? CBS. What does CBS love? Cop dramas. This is more of a courtroom drama, right? So this is more of a courtroom drama. If you think about it like this, it takes place kind of, say, about right around the Picard. I'm struggling with kind of exactly where I want to put it, but right around the Picard timeline. So, you know, roughly about, you know, 10 years after the end of TNG. Now, one of the things that we've seen in these kind of series is there have been some kind of disputes, especially with kind of the rise of sentient life. And so one of the things that I thought would be interesting is if you had a place where the Federation could mediate these issues, right? So it is a courtroom drama. The only kind of key cast that I have thus far is I want it to be a kind of a vehicle for Regina King as a judge. I'd like to bring back Kate Mulgrew as Captain Janeway as an advisor, and then mm-hmm. begin to put together this kind of cast of we'll call them attorneys, as well as investigators that look into kind of these disputes. So it's kind of a case of the week. And I was thinking of some of the cases that we've seen in the Star Trek kind of lore, right? And it could vary from disputes against the Federation. It can be a mediation for things that are going on a planet. And so your team of investigators would have to go out, reconstruct the incident, dig into it, much like those kind of courtroom dramas that we've seen on Star Trek from time to time. And then there would be a ruling, you know, so not as much space opera, but I thought it would be something different. We've gotten quite a bit of focus around the technology of a ship. I wanted something that was a little bit more akin to Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
But had a bit of a, you know, I saw the comment, I thought about that, like a JAG CSI kind of feel to it too.
All right.
It's a little different. I know it's a little different. I was trying to go something completely different that we hadn't seen before.
I'll tell you what, out of all the pitches, yours is the one CBS would greenlight. Because
I'm not gonna say I didn't think about that.
Not only does it sound cool, but it's definitely up their alley. It's saleable, you know.
It was straightforward and short.
And I also wanted the team to be representative of kind of races all across the Federation, and so you get a little bit of like that buddy kind of cop drama. Mm-hmm. So you'd pair up like a Klingon with an Andorian, right? Something where it's gonna be fun and the, you know, some witty dialogue, but it's not just kind of the Federation. It's not just Earth, but it's kind of something fun, unique, different.
What was your time period for this?
So this is right after Picard. So right around the Picard kind of timeline.
Okay, because he would be
Picard TNG or Picard.
Picard. So if you think about all these issues that have kind of come up, they would fuel the need for more mediation.
And maybe Worf could be the judge, because his great-grandfather or whatever was the lawyer in that one movie.
Well, I think what would happen in that situation, so, you know, I'm not going to say I haven't thought about this some, but you would have jurisdiction that you have to deal with. So this court, right, would also then have to maybe go and show up to the Klingon High Council and mediate and kind of arbitrate on their behalf. So there's some things that you can play with there, but it's a lot less flying the ship and much more talking and being diplomatic.
Yeah, it's a little bit more like when you see like these Alienation or something like that, right? These shows where there's more of that integration, like, oh, these alien life forms are all cohabitating, and there's these other politics that have now kind of spread up among them. They all have these different rules and codes, and it gets really messy.
That's what I came up with.
It's good.
It is good.
Thank you.
Executive produced by Dick Wolf.
Dun, dun.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you can use the Law and Order chimes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess it's my turn.
Mike.
All right.
What do we got?
Was I supposed to do something?
Oh, no. Mike, you're on a podcast.
What?
Do you know where you are? You got this, buddy.
What am I on?
Give us this pitch.
All right. Sorry. Lots of technical stuff behind That's the scenes okay. there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you the name of mine a little later. So this is a character-driven adventure show. So it's a cross between like Person of Interest on CBS and the CW's Legends of Tomorrow. You guys seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mariah, you haven't, but you'll get it.
Be fine.
So the setting would be a small starship in the far future, maybe like a couple hundred years after Picard, like kind of like where Clyde's is set. So let's say like, I don't know, 100 years after the events of Picard season one. And a former Starfleet admiral played by Carla Gugino.
Yeah.
Mm.
So she's about 50 years old. She's a human scientist, a former admiral of Starfleet. Her name is Rebecca Jordan. And she experiences a number of devastating personal losses that influence her to develop a machine that crushes data and makes incredibly accurate predictions concerning the choices that people make that will eventually have huge ramifications for the galaxy down the line. So it's kind of a pre-crime machine. Like in Person of Interest.
Is this devs or minority?
Yeah, I was like,
here?
Devs.
Something like that. So Jordan takes it upon herself to act upon the machine's predictions using the data it gives her to ensure the galaxy remains safe for the greater good. She has a ship. She embarks on her first mission alone because this is a secret. She doesn't want anyone to know about this data crunching machine, because if it falls into the wrong hands.
Leave data out of this.
Hey, it's bad. Data's dead, sir. So she embarks on her first mission alone, and she fails. So realizing that she needs help, and her first mission, she tries to stop a terrorist attack, and she fails. So realizing that she needs help, she programs the machine to choose a team to help her on her missions. Now, the machine recommends 5 unique individuals best suited for the job.
Give it to us.
And they are all very different, and they have very different specialized skill sets.
Oh, Mike's giving me a team up. I'm getting excited.
It's because he said the Tomorrow Show or whatever.
Okay. But they're all very different people. But one thing that they have in common is that they're all dead.
Well, that's a good time.
That's hilarious.
And it's called Star Trek Ghost Ship.
Okay.
I'm going to say I didn't see that coming.
And okay. I'm showing Grant's awesome graphic that he made. I also made a graphic.
Yours is really good, man. I like the Snapchat. Is that like
the I was going to say the Snapchat ghost.
Yeah. So. All right, so they're all dead, but Jordan won't let that stop her. To get her team together, she has to steal a time machine from the Vulcan Ministry of Science, because the Vulcans are the only motherfuckers that know how to make a time machine. So you get some fun espionage there. And she goes back in time to collect each of her selected team members just seconds before they die in the past. And she brings them forward to her time period. That way her team will be a covert group in the truest sense, my friends. And she'll assign everyone on the team new identities and give them missions to go on based on her machine's recommendations. So the pilot, or maybe the first several episodes, the first season, have her going back to collect these people.
It's also like persons of interest.
Yes. Garak, played by Andrew Robinson, reprising his role from Deep Space Nine. Garak is the morally gray and 100% gay former Cardassian spy from DS9. She saves him moments before his assassination from a political rival on Cardassia. Next, we have Kalar, reprised by Susie Plaxton from her role on TNG. She's a rebel Klingon diplomat who thinks Klingon culture is outmoded bullshit. And her life is saved before she dies in the TNG episode early on. Next, we have...
Mike, I don't know about Garak, but you start off a little slow, but you're picking up speed fast, buddy.
Garak's a shit. Next, we have Ro Laren, Michelle Forbes, returning to Star Trek from her stint on TNG as the great Ro Laren, the former street smart Starfleet officer who betrayed the Federation to join the Maquis, a militant terrorist cell that fought for the rights of her subjugated people. Jordan saves her right before the Dominion wipes out the Maquis. And
you
finally,
say Carl Meany, you automatically win.
Well, right now we are going to the brand new characters, and I have a couple people here. I have a couple images that represent these characters, but they're not necessarily the actors. All right, so we have two new characters: a pair of young low-level bounty hunters from the 25th century who work together. One of them is Renton, and maybe played by Dan Stevens. I don't know. I put this guy here because Renton is a smart and risk-taking betazoid man who numbs his telepathic powers with strong booze, drugs, and he constantly escapes into fiction. I put this picture here because this is Brad Dourif, who is one of the main betazeds that we saw on Voyager, and he has those cool black eyes, which this character would have.
That's Brad Dourif?
Yeah, he was great. And the other bounty hunter who Renton works with is Wexler. She is a highly educated, polite, and erudite Tellarite woman. Those are the people who look like the hogs, like a pig face. And she's the brains of the operation. So they work together. Now, and the picture you see is of some random screenshot from Discovery when they showed one of these Tellarite ladies in the background.
Okay.
So... Admiral Jordan, or at this point, Captain Jordan, swipes them during a fight. These two, she goes back in time, swipes them during a fight just moments before they kill each other.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's going to be immediate tension on the show. Yep. I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm. Going to get tense.
All right. And
tension.
The time machine is destroyed after Jordan collects all of these people. So no more time travel. Fuck that. At least not in season one. So they all come to work together on a ship called the Pilgrim with Jordan as captain. And they're this kind of pre-crime squad, and the missions range from stopping terrorists to solving like small interpersonal conflicts that could eventually lead to like big wars. And the conflict comes from a number of places: getting the team to accept their new roles, getting them to work together, some of them trying to use the machine for personal gain or personal reasons. Some of them definitely questioning the morality of their missions. And in season one, it is revealed that Jordan is a changeling, aka a potentially evil shapeshifter.
I don't know what that means.
And again, the tone is persons of interest meets Legends of Tomorrow. So, definitely character-centric. I definitely want depth of character, something like Battlestar Galactica or even The Leftovers, how deep the characterizations went there. But I also want a sense of intrigue, like person of interest, and just goofy, all-out, wacky fun, like Legends of Tomorrow. Star Trek, Ghost Ship, motherfucker!
Is that going to be your theme song?
That's it. I just wrote it. Give me the residuals. That's what I got.
Very Kelsey Grammer of you.
Nice.
Sweet. Okay. Did you ever read the comic Exiles, the X-Men kind of spinoff,
Mike? No.
So the premise is that there's this entity that was able to pull in all of these different X-Men characters from different timelines and whatever, all into this negative zone or whatever, and then send them off on missions that they had to kind of work together. So it would pull, like, it was just a vehicle, a mechanism for being able to pull in all the coolest, like, X-Men characters into a room and then make them have to do team-ups here and there. It was a really fun premise. And your thing kind of reminds me of that. Like, what if there was this machine where you could just kind of pull in all these really fun side characters from all these different Star Trek iterations, lump them together and say, go off on a mission together.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what this is. And the collection of characters that I came up with are, obviously most of them are from Star Trek's past, but they were either side characters or they were characters that we didn't see enough of or died too soon, but that I found extremely compelling. And I also found that they were kind of they threw a wrench in the machine that was Star Trek. Like, they were always causing conflict wherever they went. And I was like, I think it's time for that. I want to bring these characters back. So I think that would be fun. Working title, Ghost Ship.
Ghost Ship.
Motherfucker.
What was your first
Wasn't there a Ghost Ship TV show?
I think there's a movie called Ghost Ship. Yeah. I never saw that.
Are you attached to Pilgrim as the ship's name in the show?
Not at all. I just knew the ship needed to have a name. Fuck you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Oh, wow.
She named the ship Cadaver.
Cadaver. Yeah. Well, I mean, they were dead, but they're not dead because she saves them. So,
but well, I guess it would have. I was like, Rios's ship has a name. I guess this
La Sirena. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I feel like because when you were saying that, I was like, oh, this reminds me of Exiles, which when I was trying to come up with different ideas for what to write as a pitch to y'all, I wanted to do something in the vein of like Exiles. And I think one of the things I probably failed to even explain in my own pitch was that I envisioned mine eventually becoming Sliders or Quantum Leap or something in that vein where this group is untethered in time and they start off in 1947, but they're jumping through time as these time travelers that come from a Starfleet or Starfleet adjacent background, right? So I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. But then hearing your pitch, where you're talking about bringing in all the best of the best into like this other mission, I love that. I love that kind of stuff a lot. I think that's super cool.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like Star Trek A-Team. Actually, new title, Star Trek A-Team.
It, like when you said Legends of Tomorrow, I'm like, yeah, that's right. It's I fun, know where right? you're going with this. I was just so curious, like, who's it going to be? Am I going to recognize a single one of them? Nope.
All right, CBS All Access, cancel Discovery, cancel Strange New Worlds, cancel all the other shows, and greenlight these four. Mariah will write them all.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Mariah.
I mean, I'll take that paycheck.
Yeah, and we'll just pitch you our cast.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Well, yeah, now I guess the onus is on you, dear listeners, if you've checked this out already and any of these resonated with you, I hope you guys will go ahead and go over to patreon.com/StarTrekPod. And there you'll find a little poll that Mike put up and you can vote. You can pick your favorite one. Probably give them a little bit of time to post that up. I'm guessing it's not up yet.
No, it'll be up later tonight. Yeah. So. Patreon.com/StarTrekPod to vote. You don't have to be a patron to vote. It's a free poll. So vote for your favorite pitch that you heard tonight. That poll will go live soon after tonight's live pod is over. Just go to patreon.com/StarTrekPod. Again, you don't have to be a patron to vote. And audio listeners, the link to that will be in the show notes for this episode.
Now,
are we going to see if anyone who is listening live has any additional questions for us?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
if you're
let's
listening
do that.
Right now, you should try and put some questions in.
Yeah, I did see someone. Mark said you promised a reading. Yes, whoever wins, we will write a couple of scenes and we will do a round table reading of that as best as we can.
Right, Marge. Yeah, the way it works is you go to tonight, go between now and Wednesday, go to patreon.com/StarTrekPod. We'll have a poll there and you guys, it's a free poll. You don't have to be a patron. You vote for your favorite pitch. And whoever gets greenlit or whoever gets the most votes will have a reading of a scene from the winning show.
Yes.
I saw I saw Home Chicky had asked like if we were going to see any non-binary main characters. And I thought that was... I know that in Mariah's pitch, that was you specifically had a character in mind.
Yeah, so the... where did they go? My Andorian. So the Andorians technically have four genders. And so it can kind of ride along the spectrum. And so the character I wrote, you know, might be femme presenting, but is technically uses they, them pronouns.
So Marge asked, Pod, did we get a chance to pitch a show? Yeah, we did mention at the beginning of this episode. Next week, for next week's live pod, we're going to talk about your pitches. So,
because I need more than a week to write.
Well, we're going to talk about your pitches, guys. So you can either tweet your pitches to us for new Star Trek shows at Star Trek Pod, or you can call our hotline to leave us a pitch, 833-TREK-POD. That's 833-873-5763. You can also just send us a message on Insta, at Star Trek Pod. We're at Star Trek Pod on all the socials. So between now and like midnight Wednesday Central Time, just send us your pitch. And we'll talk about all those pitches we got on next week's live pod next Thursday. And we'll vote on our favorites, or we'll let you vote on the favorites and you guys can pick a winner live. So I think that'll be fun.
Cool.
Yeah, we can definitely read a few. I've seen some really fun ones on our Instagram. I'm excited.
Yeah. Chupi asks about my pitch. Would I recast the characters from the last? So I'm bringing back a lot of older characters. I really didn't think about that. I did say that most of them, I would like to see them played by the same actors, but I know that probably wouldn't be the case. I'm talking like this is real.
Like, I don't know. They're kind of old. Depends on my paycheck here, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe some recasting. Maybe, but I would definitely keep Michelle Forbes.
All right.
Big baller. So Home Chicky, these are the four you'll be voting on. And then next week we'll be doing fan listener pitches. So this week you vote on ours and next week we'll kind of compile as many as we can that we've gotten from y'all. And we'll read those aloud or play them if you call the hotline.
Yep. Yep, this time you're just voting on ours, and next week you're going to hear listener pitches and vote on those.
Great.
Mark did ask, where's the all-female battleship pitch? And I do feel like we dropped the ball, but now the onus is on you to deliver that for us next week. As
your Don't fail like we did.
Well, that was pretty interesting.
I like that all of ours are so vastly different.
Yes.
I thought this was kind
But we're vastly different, so that works. Mm-hmm.
Carolyn K3 says she definitely can't choose one. Thank you, right. Carolyn.
I like the game of this, but coming into this with my pitch, I feel like, it's kind of... obviously, I was skirting around not knowing Star Trek lore. I was like, what if it was just like The Office in space? Then I'm good. Rainn Wilson is there again.
But I like that you tied yours to Discovery and kind of legitimizing that show. You know, like if there was a show that was... Because, yeah, there are so many questions left after they jump forward to the future at the end of season two. What is the fallout from that?
Right. Like, wouldn't everyone be like, the fuck? How does a ship that we already knew could jump through space just disappear and all those people, like, I mean, you see people go to the ends of the earth to save one person, Spock, and a whole entire ship of crewmates disappear. Surely there would be something that they try to do. And so.
All right. Well, I think we are good. Grant, can you tell people how they can help us?
Guys, you know how you can help us. Go ahead and share this out. Go ahead and go to wherever you're listening to this as a podcast and give us a 5-star rating and review. Like this on YouTube. Add a comment. Those are also helpful in raising awareness about us. And then, of course, you can go to patreon.com/StarTrekPod and make a per episode pledge. Give us $2 a month and you can join our Slack channel, or $2 an episode, rather. And you can join our Slack channel where we discuss everything. Everything Trek, and it's a lot of fun, and we try and do a little bonus exclusive stuff just for you guys. StarTrekPod.com. Nope. Patreon.com/StarTrekPod. That's also where you want to go to vote after this episode.
Mm-hmm. And listeners, do follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Star Trek Pod. Tweet about this episode, and shout out to Karen, who helps run our Twitter, and James Worm, who helps run our Insta. These guys are doing an awesome job. And thank you so much for joining us on Star Trek Discovery Pod. Remember, visit StarTrekPod.co to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get podcasts, and to vote on these pitches, patreon.com/StarTrekPod for the free poll. Clyde, where can we follow you online and hear more from you?
You can follow me at Clyde Haynes on Twitter, and then check out my website with my wife, keyandclyde.com. That's K-E-I and Clyde.com.
Mariah.
I'm at Mariah Gossett on all social platforms. That's Mariah with a Y and a Gossett with 2 S's and 2 T's.
Grant Davis.
Baron Von Grant. Zoop.
Follow me on Twitter at Mike Moody. Live long and prosper.
Bye.